prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
I'm Dave, with me is Jeff.
Good morning.
And you've brought somebody with you.
I brought somebody with me. Hey, I'm the pastor at Revolution Church, mm-hmm. and we are part of the Brethren in Christ denomination. I brought with me Bishop Perry Engel. Good morning.
It's great to be here.
Hey, he's from California, so if he says anything crazy.
You know those crazy Californians.
I'm too cold to say anything crazy. It's like 7 degrees outside. It's killing me.
Oh, boy. Well, that's all right. We love him even though he's from California. He preached last night at Revolution Church. Great job. I appreciate that message you brought.
Yeah.
Today, we're talking about messiahs other than Jesus.
Apotheosis.
I thought
it was some kind of liver disease or something.
Apotheosis is the process by which a man is turned into God.
Really.
But that's not what happened to Jesus. We're going to talk about what actually happened to Jesus. We're mm-hmm. going to talk about people who claim to be the Messiah, mm-hmm. people who Jewish people thought were the Messiah, all sorts of stuff like that today. The real question here is, who was the Messiah? Will the real Messiah please stand up?
Slim Shady, please sit down.
All right, Dave. Who is this guy? He was born around the year 4 BC.
Would be Jesus, right?
He died and rose from the dead.
Jesus?
Well, he ascended bodily into the heavens.
Jesus?
He was a great philosopher and teacher.
Jesus.
He was not afraid to stand up to the authorities of the day, and he was put on trial.
That would be Jesus.
Well, he preached about moral goodness and did miracles.
Definitely Jesus.
Well, he was preceded by a messenger who told of his coming.
That's definitely Jesus.
Okay, hold on. But the religious type were jealous of him.
Yeah, that was definitely Jesus.
Okay, now, actually, this guy, his name, Apollonius of Tyana.
Really?
Apollonius of Tyana is the name of this guy. I'm going to put the bishop on the hot spot here. Have you ever heard this name before?
Never.
Okay, so this guy, and some of you probably have not heard of this guy, but when I heard this, a historical figure that was born about the same time as Jesus, supposedly rose and died and rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, did miracles, and it wasn't Jesus, it was Apollonius of Tyana.
Wow.
I was kind of, I don't want to say freaking out, but I was a little nervous. What's going on?
This Messiah thing is catching.
Yeah, so, you know, the question is Jesus unique, or is there a lot of people like
right.
him?
And I've had a lot of people actually bring stuff like that up to me. You know how many people have claimed to be the Messiah, you know, and have done things that, and it's, you know, so we're going to try and answer those questions today.
Yeah, and that's a good question. How many people have claimed to be the Messiah?
I don't know. I looked on Wikipedia, and it is a long, long list.
It is a long list, and of course, Wikipedia is the most reliable source around.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's totally unreliable, but, you know, there got to be some
truth
to it, right?
It's not completely unreliable. I'm sure they spelled a lot of words correctly. No, but that it is true. Wikipedia does list a lot of people that claim to be messiahs, mm-hmm. Not just of the Jewish religion, but other religions as well.
Right.
A lot of people claim to be Jesus returning to earth. So what about this Apollonius of Tyana guy? Because I have to admit, when I first heard about it, I was a little nervous.
Okay. He's from Tyana?
Yeah, Tyana.
Where is that?
Exactly. That's a little north of Louisiana. I'm just kidding. I don't know where Tyana is.
Well, I didn't know whether, you know, maybe him and Jesus may have crossed paths and maybe there was a square off.
Okay, let's just, using those facts that I mentioned, mm-hmm. Do you see that could possibly differ from Jesus' life?
Well, from everything that you said, it sounded pretty much the same thing, but, you know.
It did sound pretty much the same thing, didn't it?
Yeah, but perhaps, you know, only one person was ever perfect.
Okay. Now, that's a good question there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we look at this list and we're like, that sounds almost exactly the same as Jesus.
Right.
And that's got to make us say, okay, let's pause for a second here.
Okay.
We just found out of a historical figure that is supposedly the exact same as Jesus. Now, either this is a huge coincidence or it's not real. I mean, this is kind of a big deal, right? You got those two options. Either it's not the real deal or it is the real deal.
Well, if it's the real deal, I mean, then we're not unique.
Right. Now, but here's why Jesus is unique. Here's why Jesus is unique. Because even with all these things, the guy being born around 4 BC, dying and rising from the dead, all this stuff, even if we assume that that's true, what would that take away from Jesus? Because all of the Old Testament prophecies still apply to Jesus. Jesus was still God's Messiah, and he still rose from the dead. All those prophecies were still about Christ.
Right.
He descended from the right people. He was born in the right towns. Mm-hmm. People gambled for his clothing, as was prophesied. We've gone over all the prophecies in other shows. I'm not going to go over those all right now. But all the prophecies still apply to Jesus. So even if all this stuff we read about Apollonius of Tyana is true, it doesn't take anything away from Jesus.
Right.
It just means there's something really weird going on with Apollonius. It doesn't mean Jesus isn't the Messiah.
Right. And it could also be maybe he was an imposter. Maybe he saw or heard about what Jesus was doing and said, hey, I can do that too.
Hey, that's a good possibility. Yeah. Matthew 24, actually, Jesus says, for false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible.
Right.
I mean, he tells us point blank, there's going to be false prophets. So when it happens, don't be all surprised. Oh my gosh, I don't believe what's going on. No, look, if you believe in Jesus, you have to believe what he said. And he said there's going to be people claiming to be the Messiah who really aren't. Now, that doesn't mean that this guy isn't. We have to examine the facts because we're all about faith and reason.
Right.
We're about examining the truth here.
Right. And you need to know the truth. I mean, without the truth, then you're just stumbling around in the dark. And, you know, truth is in the Bible.
Truth is in the Bible. We want to examine the Bible to know what's true and what isn't true.
Right.
So I say, why don't we go ahead and do a Bible contradiction today?
Bible contradiction.
All right, we're going to do the Bible contradiction, but Bishop Perry's going to take over the duties this time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how great.
So throw this at you last minute.
Do you want me to ask the question and he's going to answer it?
Well, yeah.
Or is he going to answer the question and I'm going to answer it?
Well, you can't answer
it. The latter would be disastrous, I'm sure. All right, there is a contradiction in the Bible where it says Christ preached his first sermon on the Mount. That's in Matthew 5, 1 and 2. And it says, now Jesus saw the crowds, went up on a mountainside, sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Then there's another part in Luke says Christ preached his first sermon on the plain. Luke 6, 17 through 20, he went down to them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region, and Tyre, and Sidon. And it goes on to say that he started preaching about, blessed are you who are poor. What is the real deal here? Was it on a mountaintop or was it on a plain?
It looks like a contradiction.
It is.
Okay, now get this. I've been to this place.
What?
I was at this place, 1980. I'm going to date myself a little bit, but it's on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. You can get there today and you can crawl around. It is mountainous. It's craggy. There are cliffs and you can go there. You can stand there and crawl around.
And you've actually stood there.
I've actually been there. It was very intense.
That's
view
crazy.
Is beautiful of the Sea of Galilee. So here's how this one is easily settled. First of all, it is mountainous. It is craggy. There are a series of cliffs up there. And so when Matthew says in verse 1 of chapter 5 that he went up on a mountainside, that's exactly right. That would have been the place where I was standing and crawling around. When Luke talks about in verse chapter 6, verse 17, he talks about a level place. Now, let's make sense of this. For someone to say a level place, it doesn't say plain, it doesn't say fields, it doesn't say plains, it says a level place. Having been there, it makes all the sense in the world that on a craggy, mountainous place like that spot west of the Sea of Galilee, that in order to give a sermon or a message or a lecture to a large group of people, you would need to find in the midst of that craggy, mountainous place a level place in order to accommodate your crowd.
Right.
Well, that just makes sense. And, you know, we have this list of rules that people need to apply when they're reading the Bible.
I love that list.
Yeah, Norman Geisler came up with a bunch of them. We've added some ourselves. You know, we've added two to the list. I think both of these apply today. Number 20 is not reading the Bible. Like, sometimes, seriously, you think this is a contradiction, but you haven't really read it. And what it says in Luke 6, then he came down to them and stood on a level place. I mean, that doesn't say he stood on the plains like Kansas is a plain. It's just a level place. place. I mean, that just, there's lots of level places when you're climbing a mountain.
That's true.
And then the other one is mistake 19, not using common sense. I mean, really, as the bishop pointed out, if you just think about this for more than 30 seconds, saying that you found a level place on a mountain, that's not a contradiction.
No. Anybody ever been to the Grand Mesa in Colorado?
No, I've never been there.
It's huge, really high, but really level on top.
Nice. Well, I know, you know, we go out to Colorado a lot and we climb, you know, Pikes Peak or whatever, and there's a lot of little tiny plateaus that one person could stand on.
Right.
So it's just a level place for him to find his footing on. That's all it is. And, you know, something else they need to understand, if they're reading the NIV version of the Bible, that there's a little title above this that says, what does that say, Bishop Perry?
Well, it says, in Matthew it says Beatitudes, it says blessings and woes in Luke, but I believe in your version, it said something about a plain.
Yeah, the Sermon on the Plain. Now, these are titles inserted by the people who print the Bibles. Mm-hmm. Okay, this isn't part of the Bible. So
right.
If they're looking at, the Sermon on the Plain versus the Sermon on the Mount,
right?
They're not reading the Bible. They're just reading titles that people have inserted to help
That's
us.
That's not a part of the Bible?
No, it's just titles that people inserted to help
they
us categorize
They didn't title those
it.
Sections themselves?
No, that was not a title by their... Yeah, anyway. So, thank you for wrapping up our Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
I love it when we bust contradictions.
Blam! It's gone.
It is.
All right. We're getting back to Apollonius of Tyana. This guy supposedly died and rose from the dead, was supposedly a Messiah just like Jesus. So what's the real deal about Apollonius? Are you ready to find out?
I'm ready to find out.
We're told about Apollonius of Tyana by a guy named Philostratus. Now, Philostratus wrote the biography of Apollonius. All right, now, these are some long names here.
Right.
Let's just hang in there for a little bit.
It's all Greek to me.
That was terrible.
I know.
Philostratus wrote the biography of Apollonius, the false Messiah. Now, what we want to do is compare Philostratus' writings about Apollonius to the Bible's writings about Jesus.
Okay.
All right, Philostratus was not an eyewitness to Apollonius. Okay, so Philostratus, he wasn't there. He did not see these things take place. Now, I'm going to give the bishop a really hard question here. Bishop Perry, what are the first four books of the New Testament?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Very good. That was excellent. Okay, so now, were any of those guys eyewitnesses to what Jesus did?
Yeah, all of them.
All of them were.
Yeah.
Every single biographer of Jesus in the New Testament witnessed Jesus firsthand. So you got Philostratus, was not an eyewitness, but he's writing about Apollonius. You've got four biographies about Jesus, all written by eyewitnesses. All right, so that's the first big deal. That's different. The second thing is that Philostratus, he's the only major source about Apollonius. We don't hear about Apollonius from ancient historians. We don't hear from them about, or we don't hear about Apollonius from other followers. We don't hear about Apollonius from anyone except Philostratus.
So Josephus never wrote about him.
Josephus did not write about this guy. The apostles, however, four apostles and a lot more, if you count Paul's writings and some of the other canonical books, they all wrote about Jesus. And plus, you got guys like Josephus, Pliny the Younger, Tacitus, all these historians who weren't Christians writing about Jesus.
Right. You have the writers who wrote it that later on you had other writers who were historians that agreed with at least some of the historical stuff that was about what they wrote.
Right. They agree that Jesus existed, died, and then they couldn't find his body.
Right.
But they weren't Christians.
Right.
But you get these people saying, yeah, this is really happened. Okay. Now, the next thing. Philostratus wrote the biography of the supposed Messiah, Apollonius, 120 years after Apollonius lived. Okay. 120 years. And that's a long time. The Gospels are written 30 to 90 years after Jesus lived.
Right.
I mean, that's really fast. And when you consider, this is an eyewitness writing about something that happened, you know, just 30 years before versus a non-eyewitness writing about something that happened 120 years
right.
ago.
Starting to sound more and more like fiction.
It definitely does. I mean, that's like someone who worked with the first George Bush writing about him right now as president versus someone writing about the Civil War. I mean,
right.
it's hugely different. And we have creeds about Jesus that were written just a few years after he lived. So, I mean, we're talking 4 or 5 years after Jesus died and rose from the dead. These people are writing these creeds and memorizing them. So, I mean, this is just crazy. Oh, can I read you the first earliest creed that we have?
Okay.
All right. This is a creed just a few years after Jesus supposedly died and rose from the dead. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. Scholars agree this section of Scripture that we find in the Bible, it's in 1 Corinthians, was not written by Paul, who wrote 1 Corinthians. It, most likely, it's a creed that was designed by early Christians somewhere between 2 and 8 years after Jesus.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's pretty significant.
Right.
You have all these beliefs about him dying and raising from the dead and appearing to people just a couple years after he was gone.
Right. And the significance about that, if you don't mind me pointing it out,
please,
is the fact that when that creed came out, there were actually all these eyewitnesses that were still alive at that time. So it's like says, okay, if you want proof about Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, go ask these people.
That's right. When I mean, people are saying this, hey, 500 people saw Jesus mm-hmm. after he supposedly died. Why would they say that? They're not just saying it to, you know, say, wow, we have big church attendance, 500 people. They're saying 500 people, go check it out, man.
Right.
Go ask them. I'll tell you their names if you want to know. One of the names is Peter. The other is James. You got these guys' names, Paul. So, you know, there's a lot of problems with Apollonius of Tyana. We got some contradictions and stuff about Apollonius. Also, we have a more contemporary Jewish Messiah that we're going to talk about and see whether or not this guy actually fulfilled the Jewish Messiah's role.
Contemporary, huh?
Contemporary. Well, a little bit more contemporary.
Okay.
We're
going to
see what happened and find out what the real deal is right after this break.
This week on Truth Revolution.
We've all seen the bumper sticker, coexist. With all the religions out there, how many ways are there to God? Are all religions equal? Is there any scientific evidence to support one over another? All of that and more this week on Truth Revolution.
Truth Revolution, a show on KSAL Sunday mornings at 9:30.
Listen in Sunday morning at 9:30.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. Truth Revolution. I'm Dave. With me is Jeff, and we have Bishop Perry. Woo!
Hey, guys.
We were talking about Apollonius of Tyana. Was he the real Jewish Messiah?
Right.
Or was he a Messiah? Or what happened? You know, was he a guy who died and rose from the dead?
Was he legit?
Was he legit?
Was he even real?
He was not legit enough. He had to quit. So we've talked about his author, Philostratus. A couple little problems with Apollonius. Philostratus writes that Apollonius visited Nineveh and Babylon. You know what's wrong with that?
They weren't even around at that time.
They were destroyed 300 years before he supposedly existed.
Oh, jeez.
Philostratus also claims that Demas, who was Apollonius' disciple, was from Nineveh. That's also a problem. Those are just a few of the historical inaccuracies. And like we found out, the Bible hasn't had any historical inaccuracies.
Right. We constantly blow those out of the water as well.
That's right. You know, the biblical writers contain a large quantity of correct information. None mm-hmm. that's been proved wrong. You know, but a key importance here, we're told that Apollonius was deified, known as apotheosis, right?
Right.
That's the process by which a human becomes God. With Jesus, it was the exact opposite. It was the process by which God became man.
Now, awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Bishop, would you, I mean, just talk to us for a minute about the process of God becoming man. How does something like that happen?
Oh, man, this is the biggest miracle of the Bible. It really is that the God of the universe that is beyond time, beyond description, actually takes on human flesh, is born of a woman, comes into a small town, is born in a cave that's turned into a stable, and then lives among us. It is the most radical, revolutionary aspect of the Bible message.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Did Jesus actually have God's capabilities when he was here as a man, or was he not?
Yeah, he did, but the scripture says in Philippians chapter 2 that he laid aside the privileges and basically all of the things that he had in the heavenly realms. He laid those aside, came to earth. He was still fully God, but he was fully man as well. So that's almost beyond describing.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the definition of humility, really.
It's the epitome of humility.
My foster kids today were asking me, what does humble mean? And I explained it to them, and one of them said, "I'm pretty good at that," you know. But real humility, that's having all the powers of deity and not using them.
Well, I don't think any of us could have done that ourselves. I wouldn't have been able to do it. I mean, first person that made me mad, boom.
Bam. That's right. So, all right, good. Well, hey, you know, another important thing to note, when Philostratus was writing about Apollonius of Tyana, the novel was a new style of writing that was becoming known at that time.
Uh-huh.
And the way Philostratus writes it is exactly like other novels during that time.
Awesome.
Yeah, and there was a lady who was... her name was Julia Domna, who was a priestess of Hellenistic polytheism, and she actually paid, most likely, this writer to write something about Apollonius of Tyana because she was jealous of Christianity. And so this is the real deal here.
Okay,
wanted Christianity to fail, but she wanted her religion to make it, so she made up her own Messiah.
Right. In order for something to fail, you have to actually replace it with something, especially when you're talking about like a religion or a philosophy.
That's right. Hey, a couple funny things about Apollonius. Reporting Apollonius's birth, Philostratus says that Apollonius's mother has fallen asleep in a meadow, where swans who lived in the meadow danced around her, then cried aloud, causing her to give birth prematurely, and that's how he was born. And you think the virgin birth is a fantastic story. You know, Apollonius condemned the practice of taking hot baths. He says, you're not going to believe this, he says that captive elephants cry and mourn at night when men are not watching, but when men come around, they stop crying because they're ashamed. Now, these are the type of things you read in the writings about Apollonius. This is obviously nothing like the Bible, okay? All right, I promise we're going to talk about another guy.
Okay.
This guy's name is Sabbatai Zevi. He was a 17th century Jewish teacher who claimed to be the Jewish Messiah.
Okay.
All right. He was heralded by a contemporary named Nathan. It was reported that many years after his death in 1676, his brother found his tomb empty but full of light. Now, there's very few sources about Zevi, and historically there's little that we know is true, but he supposedly did miracles. One attributed him to cursing a church, and the church sunk into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
His forerunner, Nathan, said, no, he did not do miracles. He was the Messiah of God, and he didn't need to prove anything. And so you have this guy who really, and he had real followers, and he really claimed to be the Jewish Messiah. So the question is, was he?
Well, I mean, was he able to prove it through Scripture? I mean, how many different prophecies did he fulfill? Was he from Nazareth?
Mm.
Was he from Bethlehem?
Mm. That's a good question.
Is he descended from David?
We don't know all that. You want me to tell you how the story ends up?
Do.
Sabbatai was captured by Muslims who forced him upon punishment of death to say that he was not the Messiah and that people should convert to Islam. So Zevi did what the Muslims requested. He denied that he was the Messiah. He told everyone to convert to Islam. Of course, after this, he lost a lot of his followers.
You think?
Yeah. And the Muslims...
they all converted to Islam.
And his Muslims kept him under house arrest until after his death. I mean, this is a guy that some people still now will go back and say, oh, well, Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. Well, so did Sabbatai Zevi.
Yeah, well, nobody twisted Jesus' arm and made him recant.
No, I mean, Jesus died saying that he was the Messiah. I mean, and not only did he die saying that, all the prophecies prove that he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way he died, we know he died for real. We know he rose from the dead and that his tomb was empty. He supposedly appeared to people, and the people that he appeared to would bet their lives on the fact that they'd seen him.
Oh, yeah. A ton of them gave up their lives just specifically because they would not recant what they saw.
That's right. And nobody dies for a lie that they know is a lie.
Right.
I mean, unless there's some higher thing about it. But these men they were losing everything by following Jesus. If they would have said, no, we told a lie, Jesus wasn't really the Messiah, then they would have been set free. They would have saved their life. They would have gotten their social standing back with the Jewish religion. All they had to do was say Jesus wasn't the Messiah. But they didn't do that. Instead, you get the Apostle Paul, who says Jesus is the Messiah, and so he loses his place in Jewish society, and he was high up, he was raising high up in society. He loses his wealth. He gets in shipwrecks. He's beaten. He's right. flogged. He goes from town to town. He's chased by Jews. Yeah. He's thrown into prison.
So not only did he lose his lofty place, he just totally nosedived, so to speak, totally the opposite direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's essentially living in the gutter because he believes that he's seen Jesus risen from the dead. And this is, you know, this is a big deal. No one's doing this for Sabbatai Zevi. No one's doing this for Apollonius of Tyana.
Right. And Paul became the absolute thing that he hated when he was persecuting Christians.
That's right. He was putting Christians in jail, and then he became one after he saw Jesus. So this is a big deal, you know.
It is.
Hey, you know, we got another one. Alexander the Great. Did you know that some people consider him to be a Messiah?
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, this whole apotheosis thing, God or men becoming God. Supposedly, Alexander did this. He was a man who became a god. Some people say that he was born of a virgin, that he did wondrous deeds, that he accepted the accolades of being divine. So he is put into the category of divine man legends. I mean, if we're not taught that in school, they used to be taught that more often by mythology and people exaggerating what Alexander the Great had done. You know, of course, unlike the Gospels, the earliest records of Alexander contain none of these later legends. I mean, all the early historians about Alexander the Great write it just like it is. He fought this battle, did this war. He was kind of dumb for this reason. You know, they, of course, they would hide that from him.
Right,
at the time,
of course.
Because they didn't want to get their heads chopped off. But, you know, that. I mean, he was a man, and all his historians wrote that he was a man. It wasn't until 1,000 years later that these miracle stories actually developed. It took 1,000 years for these stories to come about. Now, we have the earliest creed. I'll see if any of you were listening. How long was that creed written after Jesus?
2 to 8 years.
No, the bishop gets an extra point, which is good because he's my boss. That would have been bad if
I let him have it.
No. Right, so you have these things from Jesus, you know, 2 to 8 years after he was supposedly died and rose from the dead, and they're saying he died and rose from the dead. It took 1,000 years for stuff like that to happen about Alexander the Great. And nobody believes it still.
Right.
It's just mythology that came about. So attempts to reduce Jesus to some kind of Greek divine man legend, not going to work.
Right.
The differences between Jesus and Alexander the Great are just way too far. The differences between Jesus and Sabbatai Zevi, this supposed Messiah, are far, far, far different from each other.
Right. And you look at the life of Jesus, it's you cannot breach the truth around Jesus that he was the Messiah. With these others, there's little chinks in the armor. You can get in, you can disprove it, but with Jesus, it's impossible.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's little chinks in the armor of these other guys.
Okay.
I'd say they're standing buck naked in front of a cannon. You know, like, it's bad. So, you know, with Jesus, we know he died, his tomb was empty, people believe he appeared, and they were willing to bet their lives on that. Plus, we have all the prophecies of the Old Testament written hundreds or thousands of years before Jesus came, and he fulfilled them all.
And this is why we believe.
That's right. We'll see you here next week on Truth Revolution. I hope you have a truth revolution in your life. Check us out, www.truthrevolution.tv.